This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. State child welfare officials are investigating the disappearance of a 5-year-old Fitchburg boy.
Jeremiah Oliver was last seen by a relative in September, and he's feared dead. His mother and her boyfriend are being charged in the case, and two state social workers have been fired.
This missing little boy raises questions about how, and how effectively, the State Department of Children and Families oversees cases of suspected child abuse or neglect. WBUR's Jack Lepiers has been following the case and joins us now. And Jack, would you walk us through some of the basic allegations?
Yeah, well, Sasha, this is a family that's been under state supervision since 2011. That's when they first got a report about possible neglect. Now, under that circumstance, a social worker is supposed to visit and meet with the child once a month. That's to make sure the child's being cared for. In this circumstance, what we're hearing is that no one from the state had seen Jeremiah Oliver since May 20th. And the social worker assigned to him hadn't seen him since April. And that worker and their supervisor have both been fired. Now, I spoke with Alec Loftus. He's a spokesman for Health and Human Services, which oversees the Department of Children and Families. He says both employees just failed in their basic duties.
We learned from reviewing the case files that the social worker and supervisor had multiple red flags in this case that they did not check on, and multiple opportunities to bring matters to the attention of management, which they did not do. And that is unacceptable. That's why they were terminated.
And Sasha, even more damning in this matter, that fired social worker assigned said that after visiting Jeremiah's siblings in November, that the Oliver family should be taken off of observation because it was doing well. She did not see Jeremiah during either of those visits.
What does the Department of Children and Families say its next steps are?
Well, Commissioner Olga Roche is doing a review on all of the department's cases, 34,000 children, with a special focus on the other 17 cases that fired social worker was handling. So DCF, the Department of Children and Families, says that worker failed to regularly check on 8 of the 8 cases on her plate, one, of course, being the Oliver family. They have since checked on the other 7 families that they say she did not follow up with in-home interviews, and found them all in good standing.
Jack, as you said, the state says this is a case of two employees who failed to do their jobs. What's the position of the union representing state social workers?
Well, the union isn't claiming that these two workers are totally free of blame. They haven't said that. What they are saying, though, is this: they are taking this as an opportunity to air some issues. First and foremost is how the employees were fired. Jason Stefani is a spokesman for SEIU Local 509, which represents social workers. He says the commissioner violated their agreement by firing the caseworker and supervisor without a hearing.
If the actions of those caseworkers in question warrant termination, then a formal investigation, as required by law, would reveal that. And Commissioner Roche has not proceeded with that formal investigation. These workers, to our understanding, were summarily fired.
Stefani says they filed a formal grievance addressing that issue.
How does the size of the caseloads these social workers carry factor into this? Do they say they're overburdened?
Yeah, that's the other problem. So under an agreement signed back in July, the state is supposed to limit caseloads to no more than 18 per worker. Now, that's the state average, but that's actually higher than recommended standards. Children's advocacy groups say the number should be no more than 15. Now, the office that was handling Jeremiah Oliver's case is one of the busiest in the state. Stefani says they have more than 30 workers at that office with more than 20 cases. Furthermore, Massachusetts also counts cases differently than a lot of other states. So a lot of other states will count a worker's caseload by the number of children they're overseeing. In Massachusetts, it counts by the number of families. So here, even if you're handling 18 cases, that can be 20, 25, even 30 children.
Now, the governor has gotten involved. He said yesterday that the state's child advocate is conducting an independent review. And the House Minority Leader, Brad Jones, says he wants to hold hearings about the disappearance. Are they looking beyond this one case?
Yeah. So the governor says he's trying to control his outrage until he knows where that outrage should be directed. But he has said he does not think this case represents a system-wide breakdown. Across DCF, that is. Nevertheless, though, he wants a full report from Commissioner Roche and the child advocate in 10 days. Now, that's not soon enough for Jones, the House minority leader. He says the governor should have had a full report on his desk yesterday.
I just feel like if the governor were running for re-election next year, the approach to some of these crises would be a lot more direct and a lot more sort of moving out with a certain purpose to get them addressed. And it just seems like we kind of stumble from one situation to another.
Jones says he wants a legislative hearing into the matter, not just with management, but also with rank-and-file social workers to get their perspective. Of course, Sasha, when or if that hearing happens, still yet to be determined.
That's WBUR's Jack Lepiarz. Jack, thank you.
You're welcome.
And joining us now is Mary Lou Sutters. She's an associate professor at Boston College's Graduate School of Social Work and the former CEO of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. And Mary Lou Sutters, welcome back to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Really interested to hear your perspective on this case. It's hard to imagine how a child apparently subjected to such horrendous abuse, being punched, being whipped, possibly having his pinky cut off by his mother's boyfriend, could simply slip through the cracks like this. And I'm just wondering, what's your view of what went wrong in this case?
It is truly the utter failure of a Department of Children and Families social worker and their supervisor. It is a fundamental job of a protective services worker is to see a child minimally monthly. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, the department's policy is it's a minimal monthly visit, and it's an eyeball visit. It's not just visiting the family. It is ensuring that the child is safe. That is the first and fundamental right of what we expect from the Department of Children and Families. So I think the commissioner did exactly what she needed to do, which was to fire the worker and fire the supervisor.
Does it point to any other potential problems? For example, the Department of Children and Family oversees close to 35,000 children who have been victims of alleged abuse or neglect. We just heard reporter Jack Lepiarz talking about, depending upon how you count the caseload, one worker might end up with looking after as many as 30 children. I mean, are they up to it? Is this a question of too few resources, for example?
Well, having been a commissioner of mental health, I can tell you that there's never enough public resources to meet the need. However, we should have a discussion in Massachusetts about the proper caseload size, but that does not mitigate a social worker's primary responsibility to ensure that the children within their caseload are safe. So if a worker is feeling overwhelmed by their caseload, that's why you have a supervisor. So it's the supervisor's responsibility to then ensure that the children within their caseload are safe. If a supervisor is feeling that there are too many kids within a caseload, then they have a responsibility to bump it up to management. And I think one of the things we will find from the investigation by the child advocate and others, I'm certain, is, are there systematic failures here?
Mm. I mean, that's the big question, isn't it? Because, I mean, right now this is being treated as the failing of one caseworker and a supervisor. But I'm sort of trying to figure out here if there were systematic failures. What's your hunch tell you? I mean, if there were systematic failures, where would we probe that?
Well, I would start, I think it is good that they checked the other 17 cases, if you would, on the social workers' caseload, but I actually would also extend to look at all of the cases and social workers under that supervisor's responsibility to ensure that all of those cases were safe. And then I think you have to have a conversation of what is a reasonable caseload for social workers who are frontline work. This is incredibly challenging work. And to me, it's not just 15 or 18. It is the intensity of need of a family and the children within the family, as well as are they getting the services and supports that they need.
We spoke to one doctor earlier today who's an expert in child abuse who says that the Department of that DCF misses cues for abuse because its social workers aren't trained to spot them and because the system lacks an adequate number of medical professionals who could provide what could be life-saving expertise in cases like this. Do you think that's a fair concern? Do you agree with that?
I think that social workers are well-trained to do this work. What they need is ongoing in-service training, and they need really strong social work supervision to help them manage very complicated cases, as well as the access to both medical, psychiatric, and psychological support. Mm. So I think we will see within the investigation, which needs to happen efficiently and effectively and timely, to see if there are, in fact, other failures within the Department of Children and Families.
Well, we'll await that investigation indeed. Mary Lou Sutter, she She's an associate professor at Boston College's Graduate School of Social Work and the former CEO of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And we want to mention for the record, we did reach out several times to the Department of Children and Family and received no response.
Stay with us. Up next, how do you predict what the architectural jewels of the future will be, even if they're widely hated now? And how do we make sure we preserve those buildings for later generations who may be more appreciative? We're talking about you, Boston City Hall. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.